The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1-5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and content to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Oh, welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. My guest today is Tracy Preston with HomeSmart Realty. And she's one of our preferred realtors for Helping the People's Homes for Veteran program, Helping the People's 501c3 nonprofit and licensed real estate company. And what we do is we match buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors. And 20% of their commission is then donated to veterans who want to buy homes or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. So this way, if you're looking to buy or sell a house, we match you up with one of our great agents like Tracy, and you end up helping a veteran, you don't need to donate any money. So all we're asking is that you're conscious of your decisions when you go hire a real estate agent and you work with one of ours. And they're amazing people. They do a phenomenal job. They actually go above and beyond what I guarantee you've experienced in your past transactions. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home, please contact us at 833-694-6636. You can visit our website, which is Everything Home Podcast. All the information's on there. So Tracy, how are you today? Well, I want the listeners to get to know you.
Hi, Michelle. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am very, very good. I want to say thank you for participating in our program. I've been in the business for 20 years, experienced a lot of transactions from the real estate side, the lending side, and I just wanted to make sure that anybody that was invited in really were exceptionally professional, and they were caring, and they were mindful of the transactions. They really cared about the people that they were working with. So I appreciate you being one of those people that said yes to my invitation. So thank you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you for the invite. I absolutely love what you're doing with Help the People. You know, working with veterans has always been a big passion of mine. And I grew up very close to my grandparents, and my grandfather was an officer in the Army. He retired from the Army, and I have two brothers that have also been in the military. And so it's just really a passion of mine to give back and to help veterans, you know, and especially the ones that are struggling right now and need some help from us. I feel like, you know, so many parts of our society have just kind of put them on the back burner and not given them the help and the respect that they really deserve.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm seeing that more so now than maybe in the past. And it's just a shame. I mean, the organizations that we're working with, and I've had them all on the podcast so far, the three main ones. I'm doing another one tomorrow. and the stories, the real life situations, the lack of support from the military, you would think, and then from the government, mm-hmm. and then from the people in our, I don't want to say not just Arizona, but all over the country, because it's out of sight, out of mind. They're not thinking, hey, it's something that's commonplace. Like the podcast that I did the other day for America's Mighty Warriors, I was trying to find statistics, and it was actually very difficult. It was so frustrating because there was conflicting numbers and it wasn't up to date. It's been about an hour and a half trying to find stuff that you would think is very simple. And I guarantee you that if I Googled what color lipstick is Kim Kardashian wearing today, there would have been 45 websites with the information right there. And it's sad, but I'm glad that you recognize that. And you're seeing that too. And that's part of why what we're doing is trying to get more awareness and trying to get more people involved and trying to bring that to the surface and also try to create some financial revenue so we can really make a difference. A lot of these organizations and a lot of these men and women, they need money. And there's only so much a human being can write a check to donate, considering that they have their own bills and their own things to worry about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, my personal belief is as a society, we really do owe it to them to, you know, give all the support and help that we can. They risk their lives for us and for our country. And I think it's really sad that they're just kind of being put on the back burner and just kind of lost in our society right now.
I agree. And like I said, if by what we're doing here and get this to the level where now all of a sudden we're seeing some tremendous financial results, then at least we're doing what we can to make a difference. So I appreciate it being part of the family. And before we go forward, just please tell both of your brothers, I appreciate them serving and their service. So please let them know.
I will let them know. Yes.
All right. So let's dive into some real estate here. So why don't you let us know what's going on, what you're seeing kind of nationally, and then bring it down to the Phoenix Metro and talk about the areas that you specialize in.
Nationally, we're seeing an increase in home prices. Every market is different. You know, there's some markets where are not increasing quite as much. And then we have our market, which we're in a big seller's market and have very low inventory. There are markets across the country. It's kind of the same thing. And then there's, again, some markets that are a little bit more in an even balance. There's not quite the shortage of properties. I am involved in a lot of investors across the U.S., and we are still seeing a lot of investors jumping in the markets all over the place, too, which, of course, you know, affects the markets in that way, too. Here in, at least in Maricopa County, in the Arizona market, I mean, we are in a very, very strong seller's market. I think it was as of this morning, there were, for single-family detached homes in Maricopa County, we were looking at under 14,000 homes. For $250,000 price range and under, there were less than 3,000. It came out to like 2904. So we are, and again, that's just single-family detached, but we are in a very, very strong seller's market. It's really important right now that buyers, anybody that's looking, that they get fully prepared. They're fully prepared for the competition that's out there and that they're able to put their best foot forward because there is going to be competition.
So you're seeing multiple offers on a lot of the properties then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it depends on the price range that we're in, but especially the 250 and under. I mean, it's not unusual to see the homes get multiple offers in the first few days, just like we were seeing back in 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. I've even come across situations lately where buyers are starting to waive appraisals again, or they're offering to come in $5,000 to $10,000 above appraisal. Yeah, it's not quite to how it was before, but we are starting to see that. I just had a buyer that was in the 180 and under price range. So as if you can imagine, that's very, very competitive. And it was hard getting out there. As soon as she'd find something she'd like, she would have competition. And we were able to get her in on a place for $165,000 and just try to go in and put her best foot forward and beat out the competition. It's very competitive out there right now in that price range.
It's good for the sellers, but in general, it's not good for a healthy market when you have these extreme swings of the low inventory, mass amounts of multiple offers where prices are now, like you said, going up. People are saying, oh, I don't care what the appraisal really is. I'm going to pay extra because I can. What does that do to that first-time home buyer who needs that price to be under a certain amount, and now they, A, don't have the inventory, or they got priced out in the beginning of the transaction where they were shopping for the house at 250, and all of a sudden now the house is 275. What are you seeing with that, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So it can be very difficult for the first-time home buyer. When I do my buyer consultations with them, because I do work with a lot of first-time home buyers, reassure them that, hey, you know, it is going to be competitive. There's a possibility that you're not going to get the first house that you find that you like, but you will find something and it will be the right house for you. I mean, that's how it always works out. But especially right now, we have a lot of investors in our market, and it's hard for the first-time home buyers to compete with some of these investors, because the investors are coming in, they're paying cash, they're doing quick closes, they're taking properties as is. So it can be very difficult for that first-time home buyer, and it's just a matter of getting everything in order. You can make an offer look very, very attractive, even if it's not quite the price that somebody else may come into. There's things that you can do to make it look really attractive, and it's persistence, and it's, you know, sometimes it's about being the first one to get to the property and get an offer in. My buyer that we just got under contract a couple of weeks ago, that she got for $165,000, it was one of those things where she was at work and it came on the market, and I said, hey, this is perfect for you. I'm going to run over really quick. If it looks how it does in the pictures, let's get an offer in. Let's beat the competition just to get in quickly. And if for some reason you don't like it, then we can get you out of it. That's the route that we have to take sometimes. And it's not obviously ideal, because you want to really be able to look at a lot of properties and think about it and take your time. But that's just not the market that we're in right now in that price range. Again, if you go back to 2005 and 2006, it got very, very crazy. It's not quite to that level. And we're still about statistics. It's different wherever you pull the statistics from, but we're still about 16% less on home values than we were 12 years ago. I mean, we're not getting in this crazy bubble. I don't think that we're there, and I don't think that we're going there, but there is the competition out there.
Glad that you brought up how the process is working on some of these homes in these price brackets, where you're talking to your client saying, okay, I'm looking at the pictures, I'm going to run over there real quick because I know you're at work and you can't. So as long as it's a match, we're going in. So I think that's critical for people to understand that in this market, they need to be working with an agent who is doing this full time, who is keeping an eye on whatever the areas are, the certain price bracket or the neighborhoods, because the buyers are, you know, they have jobs, right? So they don't have time to constantly be doing that. It's great that there's technology out there so they can get they can get into the beginning of the process where they're going on all these websites and they've got little radars and little alerts to let them know something's new or there's a change in a price. Well, that's great, so they can kind of get into it and get prepared. But when they decide to really make the next step where they want to go down the road of, okay, I'm ready to start looking and let's get serious about this, working with someone like you who then has the ability to go get to those properties, to get everything prepared to take a look at it so that they don't miss the opportunity, because there's a very short window and you just can't leave work during the day to go check out a house.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we're finding. There is a short window. You have to be able to be prepared to do that. It's really hard. In my opinion, you do need an agent that works full time. I mean, because if the agent is at another job, they can't be watching it constantly for you. And for my buyers that are in the situation where they're in that price range that is very, very competitive, I mean, I have, as soon as a home that comes on the market meets their criteria, I have the system automatically alert me so that the second it goes live on the market, I can take a look at it. A lot of us also have connections that are in full time, and we're talking to other agents and networking with other agents and finding properties that aren't on the market yet, which is also helpful in this market. You can try to get in that way instead of it already on the market, and then you have a lot of competition with investors. So yeah, it's really important to be able to do that.
Well, and the other thing you just brought up is the relationship portion. I mean, you've been in this for a long time, and when the real estate agents have good relationships with other real estate agents, or they know how to create a relationship with an agent once they have that initial contact to tell them about the offer, to tell them about the buyer, a lot of times that is the reason why the offer is accepted. So it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily because it was the highest price. It has to do with it, the relationship between the realtors from the start, because then they have more confidence in the other agent knowing exactly what to expect, how they've prepared the buyer and the buying ability of the buyer and the ease of the transaction. So if you kind of get this bad experience, and you've done this before, probably as the listing agent, you know that once you're getting an offer presented, or you've got multiple offers, and you've talked to the agents, and the way that they prepared how what they've shown, you know, the buyer's pre-qualified letter or their conditional loan approval or whatever else documents that they're providing, and just that communication, you already know this is not going to work, or this is going to be an uphill battle. So you kind of bring this to your client and say, okay, you might get an extra $1,000, but the likelihood it's going to close, it's probably not, but you make the decision as to what you want. Here's the conversation I had. Here's the package. Here's this. And then of course the homeowner decides, but the great thing about having the experience that you do and the contacts and the relationships and the way that you just provide your service to your clients, they're getting that extra layer that I know a lot of other agents don't provide. And it's critical, especially in an industry market like this, you need that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you touched on something very, very good. Realtors work together in this industry to try to help our clients and the public. And we've the people that have been in it for years, we know who really works and has, you know, I know who has the buyer that is qualified, like you said, I know that if they're working with this buyer, that this buyer is closing, because they're not going to be working with somebody that they haven't fully made sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And it's the same thing with the mortgage professional such as yourself. I mean, I know there's times where I have listings, and if I've worked with a particular loan officer, I know, hey, if they're with this loan officer has completely done everything to make sure that they're prepared to go into this successfully and to close.
Well, you also have the nightmare list too. I mean, I over
Absolutely.
The years, back when I was doing the real estate transactions 20 years ago, I mean, I had a list of agents that I'm like, oh God, this is just going to be a disaster, or the loan officers, or even recently I just know, because you know personalities, or you've seen the performance, and you just know they're like, this is not going to go as well as everybody thinks it is. But you know, so that says a lot. It's a very important factor.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, it's something that cannot be underestimated. But I think, you know, for people that aren't doing it day in and day out, I don't think that they really recognize the importance of it. But it is very, very important.
Yeah, the good thing about that is I like that we've gotten back to more of the relationships in the overall transactions, as opposed to, you know, what's the lowest rate or what's the price. You know, I mean, I think it's nice that there's that layer of the relationship, because it makes the experience for everybody so much better or easier, especially when you've got a buyer or seller and they're moving, and they're moving to another house, and there's kids, and there's this and there's that. I mean, once there's another. There's another piece in that puzzle that's not, you know, like the weak link, it becomes a nightmare. And then that's when people get turned off on the whole process, because they're like, I'm never moving out of this house, because what I just went through, I'm never doing that again. And it doesn't have to be that way. So picking the key people that are involved with the relationships, which is the real estate agent, which is the mortgage professional, which is even the title company, making sure that all those people work together, they know exactly what's going on. They've been doing it for a long time. You hit it off personality wise, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with these individuals. So you want to make sure that everybody likes each other. It's really important to focus on that also. You know, you've brought up investors a couple times. So are these investors, you feel that they are they getting deals in the sense where the houses are in not that great a condition, or they're getting them for a lower price, or because they have a certain amount of money that they need to spend, they're willing to make less on it. And then what they end up doing is they're providing yet another rental into the community.
Yeah. In this market, the profit margins for, let's say, flipping a home, you know, buying it and rehabbing it and turn around and selling it, profit margins have really slimmed down. And so, I mean, that is still happening. But a lot of investors these days are also going in to do buy and holds. In our market right now, a lot of people getting into like Airbnb and vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. So we've also got that. We've got people going in and buying, and they're paying, you know, market price, sometimes a little bit under because they've got cash and they can do a quick close. But they're coming in and picking up these properties and then doing, you know, short-term rentals or vacation rentals if they're not doing a regular lease.
So on the short-term rentals, the Airbnb and VRBO and all that, I know that sometimes depending on the community, and I've just seen this over the past couple of years, some of the mm-hmm. cities are cracking down on once they find out, because then they're, because you're having turnover or you're having people that are renting it and there's loud parties and things like that. Are you seeing pockets of that in certain neighborhoods or certain cities, or you're still able to still have control of your own home?
Yeah, we are seeing that. There are a lot of communities where the HOAs do have stipulations in their CC&Rs that basically, you know, state that you cannot do that. Whether they're enforced or not is a whole other question. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we're starting to see some of these homeowners go in and try to get on the boards of HOAs to try to change that. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing it across the board. We're seeing, you know, some. It really varies community to community. I will say, at least in Maricopa County, from what I've observed so far, we're not cracking down as aggressively as some other areas. I know in like Northern California, there's places in there where they've completely, the cities or the counties, the local government have completely gone in and you know, basically banned doing certain Airbnbs and stuff like that, short-term rentals. So, I mean, it's hard to say if we will ever get to that point. As a whole, we've been pretty lax on that from what I've seen, but we do have communities definitely cracking down, you know, because of sometimes it's the noise factor. Sometimes, you know, just different people coming in and out of the property, and the neighbors are starting to not like it and they're filing complaints.
Well, you bring up a good point about the neighbors. I mean, if you're the one who's doing the VRBO or the Airbnb and you're making money, you think it's great. Well, to be honest with you, if it was my neighbor and I had people coming in every, you know, 2 weeks, every 30 days or every 2-3 days at a time, it's almost like it's not in my backyard kind of thing. But if I
right.
want to do it, awesome. Let's make some money, but I don't want to live next door to it. It's just something that you'll just see. It'll just start. If it's happening more so, then it's just something that homeowners and people that live in those communities just need to be aware of what's going on. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to have agents in the program, such as yourself, come on these podcasts on a frequent basis, even if it's for like a 10-minute segment, just to give an update of what's going on. Because I think it's important that people, even if they're not looking to buy or sell a home, let's just say that they're good to go. They might not sell for 5-10 years. I think it's important because we're in just such a unique market and we're in a unique world where things are going on, that things are changing, like the whole situation with investors coming in with the Airbnb, that we're trying to create something here that somebody who's not even in the market, they could tune in and go, you know what, I just got 10 minutes of great info because it's something that I needed to know that's going on in Maricopa County or in this world, because at the end of the day, things that go on in real estate affect everybody, even if you don't own
a home. Yep, absolutely. Because it's in all of our neighborhoods where we all live, it's in our communities. So it's going to affect everyone.
Well, and what's going on in the marketplace on how things are moving inventory-wise or prices or if things are starting to slow down, that affects what's going to be going on in our lives financially, even if we're not willing, we're not ready to buy or sell. So because it is an indicator of what's going on in the economy in general. And so once you kind of see some of these changes in the real estate world, you realize that there's going to be changes, good or bad, on the economy in general. Like I said, those things matter whether you own a home or not, or you're looking to buy or sell it. So information that you're given just like that about the different communities and investors coming in with this strategy, it's going to make a difference in the marketplace. And people just need to be aware of that. I appreciate you being in tune on what's going on. If we've got inventory problems, do you think it's going to get worse? Do you see maybe that it's going to resolve itself, or is this just kind of how it's going to be for a while?
I think this is how it's going to be for a while. And that's some of also the forecast in general in the industry. But just my personal view of what I'm seeing, I mean, sometimes it doesn't always line up with their forecasting and then what we're actually seeing when we're out there. But what I'm actually seeing, I think it's going to be this way for a little while because we're still relatively affordable here in Arizona. Our home prices are affordable. We're having, you know, there's a lot of people from California moving to Arizona and to Texas. We also have a big community for snowbirds coming out here from the cold states. And I think we're going to have a lower inventory for a while. And especially, you know, we're getting into spring and then soon we're going to be getting into summer, and summer normally has a little bit lower inventory and the transactions go up a little bit because families are willing to move in that time because that's when school's out and the kids can go in and start a new year or things like that, even though it's hot as heck here and looking at homes at that time. But I really do. I think we're going to see this shortage for a little while. And of course, it's going to also be affected what happens just in general with our nation, with interest rates and stuff like that is going to impact it. But I don't see that easing up yet for quite a while.
It seems like the only way that we would be able to get much more inventory in the marketplace is if something bad happened on the rest of the world or in the economy, because otherwise, what's the incentive for someone, you know what I mean, to sell because the rates are going too high. So it's almost like you don't want more inventory because then other bad things are happening. But then you also want to make sure that there's inventory so the prices stay reasonably, so more people can actually buy and they're not multiple offers. So we're kind of in a catch 22 where I don't know. I don't really know how to express the solution because the only way, like I said, the solution is a bad thing. So I guess it is what it is and we'll just let it stay and not wish for more inventory because other bad things happen with that.
Right. You know, and the inventory, I think, you know, needs to slowly balance up a little bit. We don't want an influx of, a whole bunch of new homes coming on the market or something that effect. But we do have, we have in Arizona, we are a very transient state, but we do have a net population coming in on a daily basis into Arizona. So that's going to also continue to affect, you know, the inventory, because whether they're buying or they're renting, they need a place to live. You know, and if they're renting, then that just means, you know, that's more demand for investors, more reason for them to come into the market to have homes, because our rental market is also very, very strong. And investors are getting top dollar for rentals right now. You know, a lot of a lot of renters don't realize that, you know, if they bought, their monthly payment most likely is going to be lower than what they're paying for rent because we do have such a strong rental market. Again, whether they're buying or renting, I think there's going to be a shortage for a while.
Why don't you kind of talk about the areas that you work in and maybe give some specific information on those areas?
Yeah, so I am in the Southeast Valley. My office is in Gilbert. I live in Chandler. Chandler and Gilbert are both just great areas that are really growing quite a bit. I also do quite a bit in Scottsdale, and I'm a native. I'm an Arizona native, so I was actually raised on the west side of town. So I have a lot of friends and family on the west side of town, so I do a decent amount of business there too. So, for instance, if I was to take the Chandler area right now, the median list price in Chandler, each individual zip code is going to be a little bit different, but is around $375,000 to $380,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, again, we've got some zip codes in there that are going to be a little bit lower and some that are going to be a little bit higher. The demand here, even in the 300,000 price range, I mean, we're seeing homes go within the first few days in that price range. So it's, again, it's one of those areas where it's high demand and we're seeing a lot of movement here. What's interesting about the Southeast Valley, especially in the wintertime when we have a lot of the winter visitors coming out, a lot of them come from the cold states and fly into the Mesa Gateway Airport. So because Allegiant Airlines there and they have really good prices, and so they fly into there. And so a lot of the winter visitors are settling in the Southeast Valley because of the airport location that they fly in on. It's really competitive in this market, but there's some great neighborhoods, some great communities going up. Same thing, like we go up into Scottsdale area and amazing communities in there. I'm not seeing, and the statistics aren't showing quite as a strong seller's market in some of the Scottsdale areas. It's a little more balanced, which is nice. And I think some of that probably has to do with price. Some of the areas in Scottsdale, you're getting a little bit higher pricing. And then areas are a little bit older. And so it just, all of that affects the supply and the demand and the pricing. And then we get into Paradise Valley, and Paradise Valley is a very, very unique segment in and of its own. What I have found with Paradise Valley is it doesn't necessarily follow the same market trends that, let's say, Chandler or Gilbert or Mesa or Tempe would follow. Paradise Valley seems to more follow the trends of the stock market and what's going on in that area, which is really, really interesting to me.
No, when you talked about Chandler and Gilbert, the amount of growth in the commercial and the retail, I mean, I thought I was in parts of Scottsdale when I was down there going, oh my God, it's the exact same stuff. And they kind of almost made it look the same, except everything was a little bit bigger and it's newer. But they have done an amazing job of really putting in some amazing stores and restaurants and entertainment facilities that are down there that maybe you wouldn't have thought of years ago that were in Chandler and Gilbert.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the downtown Gilbert and downtown Chandler area. They're really transforming and becoming like, you know, some of the areas that you're used to in Scottsdale or in downtown Phoenix. But, you know, just last night, my son and I took my dad and his wife to downtown Gilbert. They live out in Sun City on the west side of town, and they've lived here for years and years and years, and they had no idea. We went down there and they're like, we had no idea how much this has grown, like, you know, what it's like down here. And it's one of the really nice things, especially about Gilbert, is they also, you know, they have their old town Gilbert feel. They still have, you go to downtown Gilbert and they still have, you know, some of the restaurants or markets that were there, you know, when Gilbert was first starting, you know, years and years and years ago. And they're kind of like iconic landmarks. But right around there, they're also, you know, putting up great places for entertainment, you know, right across the street, like say a Pastino's or, you know, there's a lot of different things that are going in. And so it's just really, it's one of those places you can go down there and you can spend a whole afternoon or a whole evening down there going into the shops and the restaurants. And it's just a really nice atmosphere.
Well, and the reason I bring it up, because it's just another place to consider looking to move to, because let's just say you can get certain amenities in other areas, but you don't have to pay that extra $50,000 or maybe $100,000 for the house. You could still get something or you have more of a selection, or it's a newer subdivision. So, because remember years ago when they built all these subdivisions, people were driving so far out to go get that extra 500, 1,000 square feet. And finally, especially like you said, in the areas of Chandler and Gilbert, they put in the commercial and the retail so that you don't have to drive away from your house to go to all those things because you were driving so far away from it to get the more affordable house in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can have everything closer into town and right there at your fingertips, which is really, really nice.
And the schools are, I'm sure they're pretty good too, right?
Yeah, they're really good. You know, they've got some of some of the top school systems, that we have. And Chandler and Gilbert, different reports that come out over the last few years, I mean, either one of them or both of them has usually always been in the, top 10, either fastest growing cities or, best for families or something to that effect. So, there's just been tremendous growth there. And when I say in the top 10, I'm talking about nationwide, not just, Arizona. There's a lot going in, and it's great places, and it's still very, very affordable.
So why don't you give a couple tips that a buyer and seller can get themselves prepared for after they've done their homework on the internet and looked at all these wonderful websites and kind of created this whole way of how the process works in their head? What are a couple things that they could do to get really prepared so that when they call you, they are ready to go write that contract one as soon as they see that house?
Right. Well, of course, in my opinion, the first thing that they can do for their benefit and to prepare them is to be in contact with a professional knows what they're doing and does it full time. It's not a side job for them. But basically, the biggest thing for the buyers is, because we are in such a competitive market and it is a seller's market, it's just really, really important for them to be fully prepared. So, the first thing, if they come to me and, they haven't been pre-qualified, the important thing is to get with someone like yourself and get them get pre-qualified. And then I usually ask for it to be taken a step further and get a pre-approval so that they're pretty much, ready to go, that they've been through some sort of underwriting process and they're just waiting on a property. And that's it. For me to sit down with the buyer and do a full buyer's consultation with them and talk about, hey, here's what's going on in the market, because knowledge is power. You got to know what's going on, whether you like it or not. This is what's going on in the market. And here are the things that we can do to have the upper hand with competing with the other buyers. And there are, there's quite a few things, various things that we can do to make the offers look more attractive. I sit down with my buyers and go over that and tell them, what it is, whether it's a simple thing as writing a letter. Sometimes that helps in this market, writing a letter about you and if you have your family and what you like in the house that you're getting. And, because some people just want a buyer that's going to come in and take care of the house and wants to be in there for years and years and years, because that's a very special property to them. There's various different things, and there's things that we can do. We talk about, the offer and, hey, here's what you can do to make your offer more attractive, whether it's, putting down more earnest money or writing certain things in the offer, having just a clean offer. I know as a listing agent, when I get multiple offers, man, it makes a big difference just having a nice, cleanly written offer. Just not a lot of stuff in there that makes it one more hoop that you got to jump through. The biggest thing is getting the pre-qualification or the pre-approval and being really ready to go so that you can show the sellers that, hey, we're ready. We've got everything done. Hopefully, we've been through some sort of underwriting. We're not just pre-approved. We've had the lender look at all of our documentation. It's not just based on what we said verbally. Everything's been looked over and approved to go. With the buyers, I think that that's really important. And again, just sitting down with your agent and having that talk of, okay, what can we do to get everything in order? For our situation, and every buyer's situation is different, because some buyers need to be out of their current place by a certain time. We try to limit as many contingencies as we can. So when I mean contingencies, it's, do they have to sell a home? Do we have to make this offer contingent on them selling the home? Well, we try to overcome all of those obstacles before writing the offer.
If they're living in and wanting to buy another one, then every transaction has somebody in it where that person needs to buy the house, that person has to sell their house. So you've got this domino effect. So if you have one weak link, then the whole thing goes sideways.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so important to have everything in order and to have, the strong links and all of those. And if there's a possibility of not making something contingent on another link, then we try to do that. I mean, and it's not always possible, but sometimes there's some creative ways to to kind of take out a link so you don't have that possible issue or on the road with it. But there's a domino effect. Say if I have a buyer and they're selling their house and their buyer doesn't perform, then that affects them getting to their house and the person they're buying it for from getting into their house. And so that's why it goes back again. That's why it's so important to be working with the professionals that really know what they're doing and know, you know, hey, I know that this person is going to close. You may be getting $1,000 less, but it's way worth it because otherwise you may miss out on your house. You may have to pay another mortgage, a lot of different things. So that's really important in setting expectations. And then, for my sellers, it's in this market, like I said, it is a seller's market, but you still want to be fully aware and accurately educated on what really is going on and what the pricing is in your neighborhood. You want to do everything possible to make sure that you're getting the best price and at the least amount of time. So, I mean, things are going quickly in most areas here in certain price ranges, but even though they're going quickly, are you getting the best price that you can? And that's important too. Sometimes as a seller's agent, we want to push the envelope just a little bit to get the sellers the best price. And you know what? That may mean that their house is on the market for a couple weeks instead of a couple days. But if they're okay with that timing, then it's okay.
And I think it's important that the sellers recognize that when you do your consultation with them, you are going to be, your job is to get the house sold as quickly as you can for the highest amount of money. So when you walk through, you are going to tell them what needs to be done to get it in that condition. And they need to, yes, it's their home. It's probably where they've lived for a long time. They love all the knickknacks. They like this. They like that. They just need to remove those emotions from all that is attached to their home, because you're going to tell them this needs to go. This might work for you, but it's not going to work for the person that walks through. We got to do this, this, and this, because you're there not to insult their taste or to say that their home's not good. It's just there's a lot of little tricks that can be done, even some tiny little home improvements or some little things with paint or just an overall deep clean that really makes a huge difference. Because you know what these buyers are looking for. And if they could get that extra money in there, get it sold extra quicker, it's worth it. So the sellers need to remove all of that personal attachment to their wonderful little home, because you just need to be brutally honest. And, because at the end of the day, the goal is to sell the house. It's not to have somebody else love the way that you've made it work for you.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, there's a reason in model homes where why they make the model homes look the way that they do, and they're not real personalized. And, they're just very, very clean and minimalized. And it may not be conducive to everyday living. But, if you do it right, then it won't be on the market very long. You'll be getting top dollar for it. And plus, a lot of times you're packing up stuff that you're going to have to pack up anyways. So you might as well do it. But yeah, there's a lot of things that, just something simple as the filter on the AC, the return filter. I have a lot of buyers, believe it or not. I work with a lot of engineers. So I have a lot of buyers that go in, and one of the first things they look at is the air filter to see if it's been changed and clean. And, it may be one of those things that maybe the homeowner didn't change it for the last 2 years and they just did it because they're selling the house.
Do it now. Remember, we're putting Band-Aids on bullet wounds. We don't care at this point. We are patching over holes and making stuff look pretty. That's all we're trying to do. Yeah.
So you never know for sure, but there's a lot of people that have, preconceived thoughts and notions that, hey, if that's clean, I think that they've probably taken really good care of the property. So there's things like that we know as listing agents what buyers are coming in, and even though it may seem very trivial and not a big deal, it does make a difference.
No, it's a great little trick, and it just reminded me. I'm thinking, when's the last time I did my filter? I'm going to do it today, even if I'm close right? to 30. But I have a feeling it's a little – as I was for a while there, I was writing it down to try to just remind myself, and I know that it hasn't been in 30 days. So I'm going to go do that when we finish. See, these little tricks, this is stuff that's important. Like, even if you weren't buying or selling, it's that wonderful little remodel, because I remember quite a few years ago, I was out of sight, out of mind. I don't know what I was doing, whatever. And it hadn't been changed in a while. Well, it ended up getting the unit froze because the filter wasn't clean. And I had, you know, had them come to the house, and he said, when's the last time you had a clean? And I don't remember. I said, I'm very busy. I don't know what's going on. Right. It was many, many years ago. And I was young and didn't care and thought I was invincible and all that. And he says, well, the reason why it froze is because you didn't clean it. I said, there is no way that because I didn't change this stupid little filter, which is like a $3 or $4 filter, that all of a sudden my entire air conditioning unit froze up and then I'm calling you to fix it. And he said, no, it's that simple. And he goes, it's right. It really is. He goes, I get calls like this all the time. And I said, yeah. So, I mean, these little tricks are, it doesn't matter if you're buying or selling. It's almost like maybe we should do a little snippet on these shows once a week or something. We're like, okay, this is your reminder show. These are the things you need to go do once you click the button, because I know that I forgot to do them. You know, this is
right. Absolutely.
You're in this real estate world all the time with the buyers and sellers. So you're seeing stuff that I'm not thinking about because I'm at work all day, and I work at an engineer, or I'm in retail. So I'm not thinking all these little things. So you're picking up stuff on homes. You're like, God, look at that. That's something new that I'm starting to see as a pattern. Aha. Maybe I should let people tell my friends, hey, by the way, this is what I'm seeing. So you might want to go look at yours. And then they go look at it and went, oh my God, I've never even been on this side of the house. I didn't even know this was here. You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and especially here in Arizona with the air filter, I mean, we get so hot and it gets so dusty. But what I tell, you know, my clients is, you know, hey, make sure you change this every, you know, 30 days or so. And the best way that I keep track is every time I have to go pay my bill, it's put a new filter in, you know? So that's one of the things that kind of helps keep me on track. Yeah.
Yeah. Just those little reminders. I mean, at some point, maybe it saved a service call, or the fact that once it's hot and then all of a sudden the air conditioner goes on and then you're like, now it's not working and I got to wait 4 days for the guy to come out. So
and it's 120 degrees out.
Yeah. Why did I listen to Tracy? All I had to do is change it every time I pay my bill, you know, simple stuff.
Right.
You know, the little things, they mean so much sometimes. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners, the buyers, the sellers, the people that have no use of moving anytime soon?
You're not going to be moving anytime soon. You know, the market's still really going to be important to you. And what's going on in your neighborhood is important to you because that's going to keep the value of your house. And, you know, so one thing that I just in general, you know, try to communicate to people is we're in a society where everybody's cocooning. You know, you're coming home from work, you're shutting down your garage before you get out of your car so you don't have to talk to your neighbor. And
I did that the other day.
You know, all of that stuff. You had a long day. But, you know, I think it's really good in general for our society. Even, you know, there's times we don't feel like it, but even if we just get out and know what's going on in our neighborhoods and, you know what's going on with the people in our neighborhoods, because it just not only impacts us and where we're living, it just impacts the society as a whole and people being there for each other.
Oh, I agree. Something that we always forget about. So Tracy, why don't you give your contact information so that anybody that's listening and they want to work with you, just mention that you heard her all about her on the podcast. So then that way that she's going to take extra special care of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my direct number is 480-363-1288. That's something that you can also text me at. And then my email, it's really easy. It's Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, @ Tracy Preston, PRESTON.com. Happy to help anybody in any way I can, answer any real estate questions. Even if somebody's not looking to buy right now, they may need to know, you know, what do they need to do to prepare for buying in another year? It's always good to be prepared. So it's not always a, hey, we're going to do this and get it done, you know, in a month or two. It's sometimes it's, hey, you know, I've got something on my credit that I need to work through. Can you point me in the right direction of what needs to be done so that in another year, when I'm ready to move, when my, you know, my kids get, before they start school, how what do I need to do to make this happen type thing?
You're a true professional, Tracy, and a great person to talk to, fabulous personality, and I know you really care about the clients that you work with. So again, thank you for being a part of our program, coming on the podcast, and I'm definitely going to have you back on pretty soon. We're going to do, like I said, we're going to do some little snippets on stuff that doesn't matter if you're buying or selling, things that'll give you a nice little reminder, like go change your air filter.
Absolutely. Tracy, and thank you for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. We'll be in touch soon, and I want you to have a great day.
Thank you.
I was talking to Tracy Preston with HomeSmart Realty. Again, she's one of our preferred realtors, Home for Veterans Program. So any of the buyers and sellers that are out there looking to move forward, we're going to give you the opportunity to work with Tracy. That 25% of her commission is then donated to the program, goes to veterans who want to buy or sell homes, or if we can help them out with a remodel for some of the home improvements for their service-connected injuries. So again, if you're interested in buying or selling, please contact us at 833-694-6636 or check out us on the website at everythinghomepodcast.com. Everything will be listed on there. And again, Tracy is one of our great agents. She's wonderful to work with, and I've known her for a long time, so I know you'll be well taken care of. Again, thanks for listening to another episode of Everything Home. Make it a great day.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnett.